During my senior year of high school, I did my senior service project at So Others Might Eat. Now, St. Andrews has you do, instead of going to school for the last 2 weeks of your senior year, you go and you pick a place that benefits our community in one way or another. At the end of the 2 weeks, you write a 2 to 3 page paper about what you learned during your time there. I was particularly nervous about my time there because it takes me a while to settle into new places where I don't know very many people. When I got there, I didn't realize how much manual labor I was doing, so it was pretty rough. I left feeling exhausted. I would get there at about 6:30, and then I would leave at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I left every bone in my body. During that time, though, during the middle of the day, I would get a break in between breakfast and lunch. And like most teenagers, during my break, I would sit outside on my phone, texting friends, seeing what they were doing during the course of the day. But one day, one Monday, my second week there, my phone broke. So, highly disappointed. So I was forced to go outside and take my break as usual, but I was left to my own devices. And I noticed 2 feet away from me, there was a gentleman sitting there. He was in a wheelchair. And I don't know who approached him, but we struck up a conversation. And I noticed him while I was texting, but we never actually said anything to him. He, like me, would go to breakfast, take a break during lunch, meet before lunch, and then go and lunch and leave for his day. We started talking about our lives. He told me about how he was moving into a long-term shelter, about how he had recently reconnected with his children, about how his life was finally taking shape, about how happy he was that all these things were finally happening for him. I told him about the fact that I was getting ready to graduate from high school, and I was nervous about going to college and what that would mean and being home for the first time and being away from my family. What ended up happening in that moment, though, means a lot to me because I was able to form a relationship with someone who I didn't think I had very much in common with. He was an older man. He was a homeless man. He saw me probably as a teenager with a lot of attitude and didn't want to look up from her cell phone. He was a little bit true. He was frightened a little bit. But we had these preconceived notions and we took for granted that we had something to offer each other. We had something that the other could use. We bonded over our excitement for the future, what was to come. And if we had looked at each other, we wouldn't have known these things about one another. Nathaniel also had this moment of almost missing something that was life-altering, life-changing. When he asked what good can come out of Nazareth, he didn't understand what Jesus had to offer. I had to do some research about Nazareth, and I found out that there wasn't really anything going on in Nazareth. It was a little small farm town. It was a little quiet place. But then in those quiet places, that's where the greatest things come out of. Our great relationships, our, as we just celebrated Epiphany, our aha moment. Through the short interaction that Nathaniel had with Jesus, he quickly realized that Jesus was the Son of God and he claimed him to be that. And when we bring in our preconceived notions and we almost miss out on it, we almost miss out what God has to offer us. Now, I might have had a little bit of, I had a lot of misconceptions about this man. And I realize, though, what the psalmist tells us is very important for us to remember when we have these preconceived notions. The psalmist tells us, "For you yourself created my innermost thoughts, my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I will thank you because I am marvelously made." I wonder, what if we remove the I and the me pronouns and replace them with the us and the we? You knit us together in our mother's wombs, and we thank you because we are marvelously made. When we begin to think collectively about our impact on others, we begin to live out more fully the commandment Jesus told us to live: love each other as ourselves. And when we begin to approach the world this way, we begin to notice that we make more of a difference. It helps with each interaction. When we see a homeless person in the street, looking them in their eyes and saying hello, treating each person that you meet with respect and dignity. When you get caught off in traffic or when someone hurts you, approaching a situation with a forgiving heart. This could be our way of making the world a kinder place. In today's society, we've been taught that it's best to look out for our own self-interest. And in recent weeks and days, our leaders have set out to demonize people who either they don't understand or believe they're not able to truly benefit our communities. They see their countries of origin as unable to produce good fruit. In reality, these countries bring us some of the most caring and driven individuals. These immigrants seek refuge here because in our roots, our community understands that we are all marvelously made. We believe that every person deserves to be treated with dignity. We believe that even though we might not agree with everyone and everything, we all are working to make this world a better place. Now, none of us are perfect, and none of our ideas are perfect. But I do believe that we need to work together in putting aside those differing opinions. And I think that this was the message that Dr. King was preaching. He was trying to make us all understand that maybe not individually, we might not be able to make a big change, but collectively, we were able to do that. Rosa Parks was one person who initiated the bus boycotts. But it was all of the people who came after her, who joined in with her, that helped to make it what it was. They put the we before the I. They disregarded their own personal well-being and put the needs of others ahead of their own. It was through this collective action that they were able to make such a significant change. They understood that they were not standing up for their own rights, but for those who came after them. They understood that we were all created by God in His image, and that means that we all matter. Dr. King and others like him put their lives in harm's way so that we might be able to unite in this fight against injustice. It's up to all of us to collectively make a difference. Through each of our individual acts and actions, we're able to contribute to the collective good and make a significant difference. Amen.